The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Thursday, January 18th. We'll tell you about another deep freeze expected to impact most of the country and when you can finally expect things to warm up, and a new plan to bridge the learning gap that was caused by the pandemic. Plus, the good and bad of new research from the American Cancer Society. The AI-powered features now available on Samsung's just-unveiled smartphones. And get ready, why 2024 could see more cicadas all at once than we have in the last two centuries. Those stories and even more news to know next. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Another round of extreme cold and snow is making its way across the country. It started yesterday by bringing ice and snow to the Northwest. Now it's moving east and could end up impacting 30 different states. It has its sights on the Rockies, the Plains, the Midwest, and even the East Coast. And that means the Northeast I-95 corridor from New York City to Washington, D.C. could end up getting its second round of accumulating snow in 1 week after not seeing any for about 2 years. This could mean more flight cancellations, school closures, and power outages that have been piling up around the country all week already. But forecasters say this looks like the last big winter storm for at least a little bit. Most of the country could be seeing a warm-up by the end of this month. For the fourth time in a week, American forces struck Houthi militant sites in Yemen. The U.S. military says the strikes destroyed 14 missiles and their launchers just as the Houthis were preparing to fire them. It also came just hours after a drone fired from Houthi-controlled territory in Yemen struck an American-owned carrier ship. But much like other recent strikes, there was only minor damage to the ship, and it was able to continue on its journey. All in all, the Houthis have attacked critical shipping lanes more than 35 times since November. They say the attacks are a protest in response to Israel's war against Hamas in Gaza, and have said they're going to keep them up as long as the war continues. But the Pentagon says the U.S. will continue to take military action, too, to prevent them. As expected, the U.S. also redesignated the Houthis as a global terror group, and not just because of the most recent incidents. Houthi rebels have actually been sparking a civil war with the American-supported government in Yemen ever since 2012. Well, Congress is raising new questions about what China knew when in the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic. Lawmakers received documents from the U.S. Health and Human Services Department this week that some say are suspicious. They show a Chinese researcher uploaded a nearly complete sequence of the virus's structure to a database that's run by the U.S. government in December of 2019. It was apparently taken from a patient at a hospital in Wuhan, China. Then about 2 weeks later, China shared a nearly identical virus sequence with the World Health Organization. And that's when everyone learned about it. Specialists have said those extra 2 weeks could have been crucial in figuring out how COVID-19 spread, developing medical defenses, getting a testing regimen in place, and starting on an eventual vaccine. Well, so far, the Health and Human Services Department and National Institutes of Health have not said why the initial submission was not made public earlier. But some lawmakers have expressed outrage and said this latest revelation underscores why their investigation into the pandemic is necessary. They say they're concerned Chinese officials might not have been forthcoming with information. They say they're now questioning other scientific theories about the virus and also have new questions about how American public health agencies operate, how much oversight is going into research grants given to foreign scientists, and more. It was another dramatic day in court for both former President Trump and the woman accusing him of sexual abuse and defamation. Remember, columnist E. Jean Carroll is seeking millions of dollars in damages for comments Trump made after she first said publicly that he raped her in the 1990s. And once again yesterday, she testified about her experiences, explaining that she used to be known just as a journalist and is now more commonly known as a fraud and a whack job who is frequently threatened. Trump's lawyers also cross-examined her and mentioned how a lot of people called her a liar even before the former president said anything about her. Trump was there the whole time. And multiple times, Carroll's lawyer complained that Trump was talking loudly and inappropriately from the defense table while she was speaking, saying things like con job and witch hunt. Well, that led to a pretty heated exchange between the former president and the judge. The judge threatened to kick Trump out of the courtroom, to which Trump said, quote, I would love it. There was some more back and forth. For the rest of the day, Trump stayed mostly silent, but made a series of posts on his social media account from the courtroom, accusing the judge of being biased and confrontational. The trial continues today. The Education Department has a new plan to help kids bounce back from the learning they missed during the pandemic. It's in response to recent test scores that have tanked in the last few years and student absences that have spiked. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona says, quote, the bare minimum that we aspire to is to get back to what it was in 2019. He laid out three strategies states can adopt to hopefully improve learning. One, fighting absenteeism, perhaps by finding solutions to transportation challenges, sending texts or letters to parents about their children's missed days, and more. Two, more tutoring programs during the school day by well-trained tutors. And three, after-school, extended, and summer education. The federal government says it's willing to help by offering grants, providing technical assistance, and holding states accountable. States will also be able to use pandemic-era relief funds. And there will also be a public comment period for anyone to address school improvements. We have much more news for you still ahead. But first, support for this episode comes from ZocDoc. We all know there are things in life we have to compromise on. Maybe it's choosing the grocery store that never has all the items you want, but it's closer and more convenient. But one thing I don't think we should compromise on is our health. So don't go back to that one doctor who doesn't make you feel heard or is never available or doesn't always take your insurance. Instead, check out ZocDoc. You can find and book doctors and check out verified reviews from real patients, helping you to find doctors who will make you feel comfortable and prioritize your health just like you do. I love that you can search by location, availability, insurance, and specialty, so you can find exactly the right doctor with ZocDoc. If you're not familiar, ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Yeah, once you find the doc you want, you can book with them immediately. I always check out ZocDoc when I need a new doctor. So go to ZocDoc.com/newsworthy and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/newsworthy. ZocDoc.com/newsworthy. Now back to the news. The FDA authorized the first medical device powered by artificial intelligence to help doctors detect the most common forms of skin cancer. It's a non-invasive handheld device called DermaSensor. Doctors are able to press it against someone's skin and get back a real-time assessment from under the skin's surface. Basically, it's able to say whether a specific spot or area needs to be examined by a specialist or not. It's all based on an AI algorithm trained on data related to thousands of lesions, both malignant and benign. And in trials, the device was able to lower the number of missed skin cancer diagnoses in half. Now that it has the FDA sign-off, DermaSensor is being marketed to doctors, so you might see it at a checkup soon. The latest data from the American Cancer Society is a bit of a mixed bag. Simply put, it found the U.S. is getting better at detecting and treating cancer, but is falling behind on preventing it. Rates are rising for the most common cancers like breast cancer, prostate cancer, and melanoma. And colorectal cancer rates are increasing for patients younger than 55, even as they decrease for seniors, something that's being studied now. But on the bright side, cancer death rates in the U.S. have dropped by a third from their peak in 1991. Researchers say it's critical that people know what their personal risk level is and, of course, get regular screenings. The Biden administration is proposing new rules that could limit bank overdraft fees to as little as $3. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says the proposal could end up saving Americans up to $3.5 billion a year in fees. The rules would apply to about 175 of the nation's biggest financial institutions. They could keep charging customers for the actual cost to cover an overdraft, but they wouldn't be able to make a profit off of it. In that case, they'd have to give the CFPB a breakdown of the costs. Or they could opt for benchmark fees, with regulators suggesting anywhere from $3 to $14. One more option, banks could give customers who overdraw small lines of credit that would operate like a credit card. The proposal now needs to go through a comment period before it becomes official, and banks are expected to use the time to fight it. The American Bankers Association already says the plan would only make it harder for banks to offer overdraft protection, which is what they say their customers really want. Either way, the new rules are expected to take effect in fall of 2025. Samsung unveiled its latest smartphones this week, and it should come as no surprise that in 2024, they're packed with new artificial intelligence functions. For example, they can translate live phone calls in real time so you can have a call with someone who speaks a different language. There's a circle to search feature that lets you direct your camera at a certain location or item, circle it with your finger, and then look up what it is. There's also a feature that can change the tone of your messages to casual, formal, business, or social media, and a lot more. The base price for the new Samsung Galaxy phones is about $800. Movie stars and film buffs from around the world are descending upon Park City, Utah this week. The 40th edition of the Sundance Film Festival kicks off today. This year, there are a record number of submissions from 153 different countries, but just 91 features were chosen. They include some highly anticipated releases like Steven Soderbergh's psychological thriller Presence, starring Lucy Liu, Jesse Eisenberg's dramedy A Real Pain that he stars in alongside Kieran Culkin, a sci-fi film called Love Me, starring Kristen Stewart and Steven Yeun. Plus, there are documentaries about people like Will Ferrell and Christopher Reeve and a lot more. The festival runs through next weekend. That's it for the main news today, so now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday. But first, a break for our sponsor. Taking care of your health is not always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for almost a year now, I've been drinking AG1 every day. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel nourished. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. I like to drink AG1 first thing in the morning, which is recommended for optimal nutrient absorption. If I'm running short on time and can't mix my AG1 before heading out, I'll grab a travel pack. Each is an individual serving of AG1 that's easy to mix on the go, helping ensure I get my daily nutrients no matter what. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why I've partnered with them for a while now. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/newsworthy. That's drinkag1.com/newsworthy. Check it out. Okay, now back to Thing to Know Thursday. It's being called Cicadia Mania or Cicadia Apocalypse. This year, a whole lot of the noisy insects are expected across several states in parts of the Midwest and Southeast. And here's why. You see, periodical cicadas come in cycles. They live underground for most of their lives, only coming out temporarily to reproduce. But when they do come out, they come in the thousands, or sometimes millions, and they stick around for a couple of months until females lay eggs. After that, all the adult cicadas die off, and their offspring burrow back underground to start the process all over again. But not all cicadas take the same amount of time to reemerge. And this year, two different groups, or broods as they're called, are expected to come out at the same time. One is emerging for the first time in 13 years, the other for the first time in 17 years. And they're set to overlap in states like Illinois and Indiana, something that's very rare. Cicadas are mostly harmless, but loud buzzing made by the males calling out for their mates can be disruptive, and the eggs can cause damage in newly planted trees. But otherwise, they don't hurt people or animals. They're expected to do their thing between late spring and early summer. By the way, the last time these two broods emerged together was 1803, when Thomas Jefferson was president of the U.S. and Lewis and Clark started their exploration of the Louisiana Purchase. All right, thank you so much for joining us and listening today. We'll catch you up on More News to Know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.